Welcome to the show, everyone. For so long, when we talked about health, about why some people get sick and others don't, the conversation always seemed to circle back to one thing, our genes. It was like our DNA held all the answers, right?
Absolutely, Adan. It's in your genes, we'd hear. Or you're predisposed to this because of your family history. And don't get me wrong, genetics is incredibly important, but I always felt like there was a missing piece, a huge part of the puzzle we weren't really looking at.
Exactly. And that's what we're here to talk about today, the exposome. It's this exciting, groundbreaking concept that's truly revolutionizing how we understand health, disease, and why two people with similar genetic blueprints can end up with wildly different health outcomes.
The exposome, it sounds a bit like exposure, which I guess is the root of it. So instead of just what genes do you have, it's asking what has your body been exposed to throughout your lifetime? That's a massive shift in perspective, isn't it?
It truly is, Aurora. Think about it. Every single day, from the moment we're conceived, our bodies are constantly interacting with our environment. We breathe air, we drink water, we eat food, we use products on our skin, we encounter chemicals at work, at home. All of these are exposures, and they leave biological fingerprints that can influence our health over time, sometimes for decades.
Wow. So it's not just about inherited traits, it's about the entire environmental biography of a person. That makes so much sense, especially when you look at chronic diseases that seem to be on the rise, even among people with no strong genetic predisposition.
Precisely. The term exposome was actually coined back in 2005 by Professor Christopher P. Wild. He argued that we need to study environmental exposures with the same intensity we apply to studying the human genome, and his definition is really clear: the totality of environmental exposures from conception onwards.
From conception onwards, that's a huge timeline to track. And I imagine, unlike our genes, which are pretty stable, our exposome is constantly changing, right?
Absolutely. It's incredibly dynamic. Our diet changes, our occupation might change, we move to new places, our lifestyle shifts. All of these contribute to an ever-evolving exposome. Today, it really includes virtually everything that interacts with our bodies outside of our inherited DNA.
So what exactly are we talking about when we say everything? I mean, I can think of a few obvious ones like air pollution or maybe pesticides, but is it broader than that?
Much broader, Aurora. It's fascinating how comprehensive it is. We're talking about heavy metals like lead and mercury, pesticides, plastics, microplastics, those forever chemicals known as PFAS. Then there's air pollution, occupational chemicals, even the pharmaceutical medications we take, food additives, contaminants in our drinking water, tobacco smoke, alcohol, infectious agents, UV radiation, noise pollution, the list goes on.
Wait, noise pollution? And psychological stress, even sleep quality and physical activity? So it's not just chemicals and toxins, but also our daily life experiences and choices?
Exactly. And this is where it gets really interesting. The exposome isn't just about external bad actors. It also encompasses our lifestyle and behavior, things like our diet, exercise habits, sleep patterns, stress levels, and even our social relationships and socioeconomic factors. All of these contribute to our overall environmental burden and our body's resilience.
That's a powerful way to frame it. It moves beyond just what's bad for me to what is my body experiencing on every level. And it really highlights that disease rarely comes from one single exposure, but rather a cumulative interaction over many years.
Yes, absolutely. A concept I find incredibly useful for understanding the exposome is this. Genes load the gun, but the environment pulls the trigger. Our genes might create a susceptibility, a predisposition, but it's our environment that often determines whether that susceptibility is actually expressed.
That's a fantastic analogy. So it explains why identical twins who share virtually the same DNA can end up with completely different diseases if they've had different environmental exposures throughout their lives. It's like having the same software but running it on different hardware with different inputs.
That's a great way to put it. Researchers are now estimating that environmental and lifestyle factors contribute substantially to so many chronic diseases we see today: cardiovascular disease, diabetes, neurodegenerative disorders, certain cancers. It's not replacing genetics, but rather complementing it. Health, in this view, is the product of genes multiplied by environment, multiplied by time.
I love that equation. Genes x environment x time. It really puts everything into perspective. So how do scientists actually categorize this vast exposome? Are there different layers to it?
They generally divide it into three overlapping categories. First, we have external environmental exposures. These are the most obvious ones, factors originating outside the body, things like heavy metals, pesticides, industrial chemicals, plastics, air pollution, contaminated water, occupational exposures, radiation, tobacco smoke, even food contaminants.
Okay, that's pretty clear. What's the second category?
The second is internal biological responses. What happens inside our bodies when we encounter these external exposures? These are the biological changes triggered by the environment. We're talking about things like oxidative stress, chronic inflammation, mitochondrial dysfunction, altered hormone regulation, immune activation, changes in our gut microbiome, epigenetic modifications, and metabolic disruption. These responses can linger long after the initial exposure.
So, the body's reaction to the outside world. That makes sense. And the third?
The third is lifestyle and behavior, which we touched on. These are our daily choices: diet, exercise, sleep, alcohol intake, smoking, even medications, stress levels, social relationships, and our occupation. Our lifestyle can either increase our exposure to harmful things, or crucially, it can improve our resilience against them.
That's a great framework. It shows just how interconnected everything is. Let's dig a bit deeper into some of these specific exposures, because they really paint a vivid picture. Heavy metals are often talked about as a big environmental concern, right?
Absolutely. Heavy metals are one of the best-studied components of environmental exposure. And unlike many other contaminants that might disappear quickly, metals can persist in our bodies for years, even decades. The most clinically important ones include lead, mercury, cadmium, arsenic, and in certain contexts, aluminium.
And each one has a different impact, I imagine?
They do. Take lead, for instance. It primarily accumulates in our bones and is known to affect neurological development, as well as cardiovascular and renal health. Mercury, on the other hand, comes in different chemical forms, affects the nervous system, can influence immune regulation, and importantly, can cross the placenta, impacting developing fetuses.
That's pretty concerning, especially for pregnant women. What about cadmium?
Cadmium primarily accumulates in the kidneys and is strongly associated with smoking. It affects bone metabolism and, with sufficient exposure, is classified as a human carcinogen. So heavy metals really form an important chapter within an individual's lifetime exposome, but they're just one part.
Right, because we're rarely exposed to just one thing. It's usually a cocktail of different exposures, isn't it? Like, someone might get mercury from seafood, cadmium from cigarette smoke, lead from old renovation dust, and then pesticides from their food all at once.
Exactly. That's the key advancement in environmental medicine, recognizing that modern life exposes us to chemical mixtures. We might also encounter microplastics from packaging, PFAS from drinking water, diesel exhaust from our commute, pharmaceutical residues, and endocrine-disrupting chemicals daily. Each exposure might be small, but together they contribute to a significant overall environmental burden.
And that cumulative effect is what can really challenge the body over time. Speaking of things we encounter daily, air pollution is something most of us can't really escape, can we?
You're right, Aurora. Most people think of factories when they hear pollution, but air pollution affects nearly everyone. Sources are ubiquitous: vehicle exhaust, wood smoke, industrial emissions, construction dust, even wildfire smoke, indoor cooking, volatile organic compounds, mold. It's not just visible smog, it includes fine particulate matter, nitrogen dioxide, ozone, and even heavy metals.
It's scary to think about how much we're breathing in without even realizing it. And I heard that those tiny particulate matters can actually carry other toxins deep into our lungs?
That's correct. Fine particulate matter, especially PM2.5, is incredibly concerning because it can carry adsorbed metals and other pollutants deep into the lungs, showing how multiple environmental exposures often interact rather than just occurring independently. It's a complex dance of toxins, essentially.
That's a pretty unsettling thought for anyone living in a city. And then there are pesticides. Even with regulations, I assume we're still getting low-level exposure from our food.
Yes, absolutely. Modern agriculture relies heavily on pesticides, and while regulations aim to minimize risk, low-level exposure can still occur through fruits, vegetables, grains, even drinking water. Farmers and agricultural workers naturally experience higher exposure, but for consumers, simple things like washing produce thoroughly and having a diverse diet can help reduce that burden.
I try to wash my produce, but it always feels like a losing battle sometimes. Okay, so we've talked about traditional pollutants, but what about plastics? I keep hearing about microplastics everywhere now.
Microplastics are definitely one of the newest and most rapidly expanding areas of environmental health research. These tiny plastic particles have been detected in everything from drinking water and seafood to table salt, honey, bottled beverages, and even, alarmingly, in human blood and placental tissue. It's a truly global contaminant.
In human blood and placental tissue? That's genuinely alarming. What are the potential health implications? Are they just inert particles floating around, or do they actually do something?
That's the big question researchers are trying to answer. They're investigating whether microplastics can transport heavy metals, adsorb persistent organic pollutants, alter our gut microbiome, or contribute to inflammation within the body. While many questions remain, it highlights how the exposome is constantly evolving as new environmental challenges emerge.
It really does. It's like we're always finding new ways to interact with our environment, sometimes with unintended consequences. And what about the places we spend so much of our time, like work?
Occupational exposure is a massive component of the exposome for many people. Think about it. Most adults spend at least a third of their lives at work. This can include exposure to welding fumes, solvents, degreasers, chemicals in battery manufacturing, mining, dentistry, laboratories, electronics recycling, agriculture, construction, manufacturing. The list is extensive.
Right, so specific industries carry specific risks. That's where things like occupational hygiene, good ventilation, and personal protective equipment become absolutely critical, I imagine.
Precisely. They are among the most effective methods for reducing these significant exposures. Now, here's an interesting one that people often forget when thinking about exposures: medications.
Medications? That's surprising. I mean, we take them to get better, not to add to our exposome burden.
And that's absolutely true. Prescription medicines save countless lives and are beneficial exposures in many contexts. However, we also need to recognize that medications are biologically active chemicals. They interact with our liver metabolism, kidney function, gut microbiota, nutrient absorption, and endocrine pathways. It's not that they are inherently harmful, it's simply that they form part of an individual's overall lifetime exposure history.
That makes sense. It's a reminder that everything we put into our bodies has an effect, intended or not, and becomes part of that grand total. And speaking of putting things into our bodies, diet is probably our greatest daily exposure, isn't it?
Without a doubt, Aurora. Every single meal we eat represents environmental information for our bodies. Food provides essential nutrients, antioxidants, phytochemicals, minerals, fiber, all the good stuff. But it can also contain pesticide residues, heavy metals, food additives, contaminants from packaging, or even naturally occurring plant toxins.
So, it's a double-edged sword. Our food can be both a source of exposure and a source of protection.
Exactly. And fortunately, diet also provides many of our body's protective compounds. Adequate intake of essential minerals like selenium, zinc, calcium, magnesium, and antioxidant-rich foods really supports our natural physiological defense systems against oxidative stress. So a varied, whole food dietary pattern remains one of the most practical and powerful ways to build resilience.
That's a relief to hear, that we have some agency there. This whole concept really makes me think about how different stages of life must bring different exposures too. The exposome isn't static, it's changing all the time.
It absolutely is. Think about it. During pregnancy, there can be placental transfer of contaminants. Infancy involves formula, water quality, household dust. Childhood often means exposure to lead paint, soil, toys, while their brain is rapidly developing. Adolescence introduces new lifestyle factors like smoking or vaping, cosmetics. Adulthood brings occupational exposures, commuting, diet, and increased stress. And in older age, we see the cumulative effect of a lifetime of exposures, plus changes in kidney function and medication use.
That's a powerful summary of a lifetime's journey. It really underscores why taking a detailed exposure history should be a routine part of any clinical assessment. It's not just about family history, but environmental history too.
Precisely. The exposome reminds us that disease is almost never caused by a single factor. So instead of a practitioner asking, "What one toxin caused this?" a better question becomes, "What combination of environmental, occupational, nutritional, and lifestyle exposures has influenced this patient's health over time?"
That makes so much sense. It's a holistic view. So what would a comprehensive exposure history even look like? It sounds like it could be really extensive.
It is, but it's incredibly valuable. It would cover everything from their current and past occupations, hobbies, smoking and alcohol history, seafood intake, water source, even the age of their housing and any renovation history, plus medications, supplements, travel, family history, and of course, detailed nutrition. This broader perspective often provides far greater clinical insight than just looking at a single lab result.
That's a lot to consider, but it paints a much fuller picture of a person's health landscape. For listeners, it might feel overwhelming realizing all these things are impacting us. Are there practical steps we can take to reduce our exposome burden?
Definitely. While we can't eliminate exposures entirely, we can take simple steps to reduce unnecessary burden. Choosing a varied diet rich in whole foods is fundamental. Following guidance on lower mercury seafood choices is smart. Avoiding smoking and minimizing secondhand smoke exposure are crucial.
And at home?
Reducing household dust with wet cleaning methods, using appropriate protective equipment in occupational settings, and washing fruits and vegetables before eating them are all helpful. Limiting unnecessary exposure to solvents and pesticides, drinking clean water, and maintaining filtration systems where appropriate, and prioritizing restorative sleep and physical activity also make a big difference.
Those are all very actionable steps. It feels good to know we're not entirely helpless against this onslaught of environmental factors. And it seems like this understanding of the exposome is really going to change the future of medicine, doesn't it?
It absolutely is. Just like the Human Genome Project transformed biology, many scientists believe the exposome represents the next great frontier in preventive medicine. Advances in areas like metabolomics, environmental monitoring, wearable technologies, and even AI are allowing researchers to characterize lifetime environmental exposures with incredible precision.
So we're moving towards even more personalized healthcare, not just based on our genes, but on our entire environmental journey?
Exactly. Health is becoming much more personalized. Our DNA is indeed the blueprint, but it's clearly not the entire story. Every breath, every meal, every place we work or live contributes to this complex, lifelong web of biological interactions we call the exposome.
And heavy metals, while important, are just one piece of this huge environmental puzzle, as we discussed. It's about moving away from searching for a single culprit and towards appreciating that cumulative, lifelong interplay between our genetics, our environment, and our lifestyle choices.
That shift in perspective is incredibly exciting. It offers a more complete, more hopeful view on disease prevention, health optimization, and truly personalized care. It empowers us to look beyond just our genetic code and consider the rich, dynamic story of our lives and our interaction with the world around us. Thank you for joining us today, Aurora.
Thank you, Adan. This has been a truly eye-opening conversation, and I think it gives listeners a lot to think about in terms of taking charge of their own health journeys. Until next time, everyone, stay curious and stay healthy.